All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the introduction. And I will be talking about bioaccumulation of biosolids bond triclosan, also called TCS, in food crops. So just to give you an introduction about the life cycle of TCS, it is an antimicrobial compound, and it is commonly present in personal care products. And when we use these products, the wastewater goes, TCS enters the wastewater, and the wastewater enters the treatment plants. And once it is treated, we get two products. One is a liquid product called effluents, and we get a solid product called biosolids. Because of the properties of TCS, it has affinity to partition into the solid fraction, which is biosolids. And in the U.S., we produce about 7.6 million dry metric tons of biosolids each year. And we know that greater than 50% of those biosolids are land applied. So now the question arises that, okay, yes, the biosolids bond TCS enters the soil system. So what happens to this biosolids bond TCS? If it is present in the soil, will it have any effect on the soil micro and macroorganisms? The second question is, will it leach down the soil profile and reach our groundwaters? And the third question is that, will it be taken up by the food crops that can be grown in these biosolids amended systems? And finally, the last question is, what is the risk to the environmental and human health due to biosolids bond TCS? And in today's presentation, I will be talking about the third aspect, which is the toxicity and bioaccumulation of biosolids bond TCS to the food crops. We do have some evidence from literature that TCS could be toxic and it could accumulate in the plants, but these studies were mostly conducted either in hydroponic systems or they were conducted in soil systems where no biosolids were involved. So that's why we were interested to study biosolids amended systems. So let's remind ourselves on how the chemicals can be taken up by the plants. In this picture, you can see that there are various mechanisms through which chemicals can be taken up. The first mechanism is if we have a chemical in the soil solution, it could be taken up by the roots of the plants and it could be translocated through the xylem tissues. The second mechanism is if we have chemicals on the soil surface, they could be deposited through particle deposition. They could be deposited on the leaves, and then we have phloem tissue that can translocate the chemical throughout the plant parts. And the third mechanism is the direct soil contact. So in this case, the fruits or the roots can be in direct contact with the chemical, and the chemical can directly partition from the soil solids into the root, the lipid part of the root, and then it can accumulate in that lipid portion. So let's think about how the TCS could be accumulated or be toxic to the plants. We know from literature that TCS has a very low solubility and it has low vapor pressure, so we won't expect a lot of vapor phase movement. Further, it has a high KOW value, so we would expect that it would partition to the solid fraction of the soil. Further, from these properties, we can at least think that if we have biosolids bond TCS, if we grow the plants in those systems, there would be a probable mechanism of root uptake, and then we think that according to these properties, the TCS should stay in the root and it will not move to the leaves or other plant parts. We do have some studies in literature that were published very recently, actually in 2011, where people have looked at the accumulation of TCS in soybean plants, pumpkin, zucchini, and the various plant parts. And these studies actually utilize biosolids, but the biosolids that were utilized were liquid biosolids. So by liquid biosolids, I mean that the solid content in those biosolids was very low. So it wasn't the typical solid content that we see in land-applied biosolids. So we hypothesize that toxicity and accumulation of biosolids bond TCS would be minimal in biosolids amended soils. And further, as I explained before, that we do have some evidence from literature that it can be taken up by plants, but the biosolids that were utilized in those studies were liquid biosolids, so we would expect difference in availability between typical dry biosolids and liquid biosolids. So again, our objective was to determine the toxicity or bioaccumulation potential. And to achieve our objectives, we actually conducted two kinds of studies. The first study that I'll be talking about are the growth chamber or the greenhouse studies. So in this case, we grew our plants in growth chambers or greenhouse. And in this case, we utilized a soil. It was a typical silty clay loam soil. And the unique thing about this soil was that it was collected from a field that was amended with biosolids at very high application rates. So the application rates over here that I wrote, 228 microgram per hectare, this is about 10 times the agronomic application rates. So we would expect that we will have high concentrations of TCS in the amended soils. And again, one other unique thing was that this soil was amended with biosolids, and then we collected the soil samples after 2 years. So we believe that the TCS has already been field equilibrated in these systems. And the inherent TCS concentrations in these soils were close to 1 milligram per kilogram. And so we utilized that as the treatment number one. And then we spiked 5 and 10 milligram per kilogram by spiking. And so the final TCS concentrations in amended soils were 1, 6, and 11 milligram per kilogram. We do believe that these concentrations are very high as compared to what we typically found in biosolids amended systems, but we wanted to see, this case will actually represent that if we have a soil and we amend that soil with multiple applications for multiple years, then these concentrations could be reached. The crops that were included were bahia grass and radish and lettuce. And these were actually, the bahia grass was a monocot, and radish and lettuce were dicots. And again, these were grown in either greenhouses or growth chambers. And this is just a write-up of the sample preparation. We grew the bahia grass for about 60 days, and then radish and lettuce were grown for 40 days. And after harvesting, we were looking at only the food crops. So we were focusing only on the edible portions of these plants. And we extracted, we washed these plant parts with the nanopure water, and we extracted them using a previously published extraction method. And briefly, it included extraction with methanol and acetone, and then we followed it by solid phase extraction, cleanup procedure. And we obtained decent recoveries, and by decent, I'm talking about greater than 90% recoveries of TCS. And we analyzed our soil and plant samples on GCMS. This is the second study. I wanted to give the methodology here that in this case, we are calling it as long-term biosolids applied field study. So in this case, what we did was we collected soil and plant samples from a field that was amended with multiple years of biosolids applications. So we are talking about 16 years of continuous biosolids applications in these soils. And the samples, the soil and plant samples were collected 1, 2, 4, and 6 years after the biosolids applications. And the soil TCS concentrations were comparatively lower than our controlled lab experiments, because in the field conditions, they are allowing the TCS to degrade during these 16 years of applications. And again, we collected a monocot, which was a corn leaf in this case, and we collected dicots, and in this case, the dicot was a soybean grain. So let's look at the results quickly here. This is the plant toxicity data. So the toxicity was quantified here by measuring the dry weights of the plants, and then I'm representing the data from our control lab studies, the growth chamber studies. So on the left side, you see the various treatments. We have control, and we have TCS concentrations ranging from 1 to 11. And we grew Bahia grass, radish, and lettuce. So you can see here that if you compare the dry weights, in case of Bahia grass, we see a general trend of increase in dry weights with application of biosolids. Again, if you compare the control and the various biosolids treatment, you again see that there's significant increase in the dry matter yields if we apply biosolids as compared to the control. There was an exception in this case in the treatment of 6 mg per kilogram. The dry matter yield was significantly smaller than the other biosolids treatments, but it was still similar to the control. In case of lettuce also, there's again a general trend of increase in dry weights as compared to the controls. So from this data, we can say that even if we apply very high TCS concentrations to the soils, there was no adverse effect on the growth of the plants as quantified by the dry matter yields. The second part of the study was to look at accumulation of TCS in the plants, and the accumulation was quantified here by using bioaccumulation factors. And just to define it briefly, it's a ratio of chemical concentration in the plant to the chemical concentration in the growth medium. And in our case, the growth medium was biosolids amended soils. And I'm presenting the data for our controlled lab experiments first. So this table represents, on the left side, we have TCS concentrations in amended soils ranging from 1 to 11. And then we had mean bioaccumulation factors. The numbers are representing, we had four replicates. So the numbers are representing the means for four replicates. So as you can see, if we move from left to the right, in Bahia grass, the bioaccumulation factors were less than 0.001. In all the treatments, followed by radish leaves, where the bioaccumulation factors range from 0.001 to 0.006, with a mean of 0.004. And then it was followed by lettuce leaves, where the average bioaccumulation factor was 0.04. And the highest accumulation was found in the radish root. So we are talking about a range of 0.1 to 0.93. And then when we calculate the average bioaccumulation in the radish root was 0.43. So again, we have these bioaccumulation numbers, but if we want to look at the data one more time, we can clearly see that from this data, it appears that we had greater accumulation of TCS in the below ground portions represented by radish roots as compared to the leaves. Further, there's another observation which was kind of interesting, that the Bahia grass was a monocot and the radish and lettuce are dicots. And it appears that the Bahia grass was accumulated less TCS as compared to the dicots. So we may also say that the monocots may be accumulating less TCS as compared to the dicots. This is the data from the field study. So you can see the maximum bioaccumulation factor that was achieved in this study was 0.16, and it was significantly smaller than what we saw in our lab study. So what do we learn from our study today? We learned that the biosolids bond TCS was not toxic to the plants, because we did not see any reduction in dry matter yields even at the highest concentration. Further, we can say that the plant uptake was minimal. It was greater in the below ground portions as compared to the above ground biomass. And if we want to calculate a conservative bioaccumulation factor based on our data, we can say that a BAF value of 0.4 could be a conservative estimation, and this can be used for our risk assessment studies. And we do have some evidence from literature where people have expressed problems associated with biosolids bond TCS on human and ecological health. But from our data, we cannot make definitive statements until we have a risk assessment done. But at least from these numbers, we can say that the bioaccumulation or the toxicity that has been previously stated, that could be overstated. And I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, my funding agency, and their various names over here, without whom the study wouldn't have been possible. And thank you for your time, and I'll take questions if we have time.
One quick question.
Yes.
What hypothesis do you have to explain the difference between the bioaccumulation factors between the dry cuts and the long cuts?
That's a very good question. We have been thinking about that, and I have been reading books regarding the difference between the monocots and dicots. One thing that we are not definite about that kind of explanation, but what I saw was that there's difference in vascular bundles. Like in monocots, they are scattered, and in dicots, they appear in bundles. So I think that could create a difference, but again, we did not expect any differences between dicots and monocots when we started the study, but this was like one observation that we found out during our study that there could be some differences, but we do not have a definite explanation for that at this point.
All right.
Thank you.